curling our toes listening to what the weaver fish would like to do to us on the beaches in Ireland this summer. And speaking of feet, I'm not sure if she knows what to do about a weaver sting, but Mary Moore, podiatrist, will be with us a little bit later on, and she's going to be talking to us about how to take care of your feet this summer. So if you have any questions for Mary, text us to 51551, or you can drop us an email, todaycb@rte.ie. The fallout from the chaos that ensued before the delayed Champions League final in Paris on Saturday evening continues, and the Liverpool chief executive Billy Hogan said last night that he's incredibly surprised by the deeply hurtful comments made by the French minister on Monday, where she blamed Liverpool fans for being let out in the wild. UEFA has begun its own independent investigation into the scenes which marred the final, and for the latest I'm joined on the line by Peter Allen, a journalist based in Paris. Peter, thank you very much for joining us, and it's interesting to get the French perspective on all of this, because it's been rumbling on since that final on Saturday night. Who is to blame for those scenes at the Stade de France? And the French sports minister saying those comments, which were perceived by Liverpool fans and the club as being very hurtful. What's the view where you are? I mean, are those comments justified? What do the French think?
Hello, Claire. Well, there's a lot of opposition to the French government this morning in Paris, not least of all from Interior Ministry officials and also police officials. They've contacted a very influential news site here called Mediapart, and they're speaking anonymously, but they've all been checked out, and they're saying that the French government was completely out of order in the way it blamed Liverpool football supporters for these terrible scenes on Saturday night. They're quite rightly saying that nobody who goes to a football match should be expected to be tear gassed. We've all seen the videos of police officers walking straight up to fans and spraying pepper gas in their face. Tear gas has also been thrown out onto concourses, and lots and lots of people have suffered because of that.
Mm-hmm. But the French Interior Minister was amongst those who said that there were thousands of fake tickets, and it was that that had caused the mayhem that ensued as the fans tried to get into the stadium.
Absolutely. Gerald Darmanin came out with that claim, but that is what's being questioned by his own colleagues today. Gerald Darmanin said he got those figures from the police. The police say that astonishingly 70% of something like 70,000 Liverpool fans in Paris on Saturday were meant to have been carrying fake tickets. A lot of people think he got mixed up by the fact that quite legitimately lots and lots of fans were in Paris without tickets and stayed well away from the ground. There was a huge fan zone set up in the east of the city. I visited the fan zone. I also visited the stadium, and you saw that they're a completely different type of fans at both situated in both areas. And many without tickets didn't make any attempt to get into the ground at all. Mm-hmm. So what the critics are saying, that he made up these figures as a cover-up just to try and make out, again, once again, English football hooligans were to blame, Liverpool were to blame, and that kind of clears the police. That's really what the accusation is, and indeed clears officials.
So is the tide turning then? Can you see the French media starting to lean at all towards thinking and writing and broadcasting that it was the police and their heavy-handedness that was to blame on Saturday night for what happened?
Well, very much so, Claire. That's really what's been happening since yesterday. I have to say that to begin with, there was some feeling, perhaps on Monday, that we respect the Interior Minister and what he's saying, and he was at the game and he was talking to the police chiefs or whatever. But having seen all these videos that have come out, ordinary people, often the best journalists nowadays, as we know, they can take pictures, they can witness stuff that journalists can't witness. And you look at those testaments, and it's just inconceivable that the fans were to blame for the worst part of what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not being completely naive. Obviously, there were a few drunk lads around. That always happens. That happens in any walk of life. But generally speaking, the real trouble on Saturday was absolutely not caused by the Liverpool fans, but was caused by the authorities, bad planning by the police because of the use of tear gas and the kettling and the like. And I have to say, there were a few local lads who were misbehaving as well.
Yes, and we heard about that, about local lads who were kind of egging on the police, and there was reports of muggings and pickpocketing going on. Just tell us what you saw, Peter, when you were there.
Well, I saw a bit of that. I mean, this is Seine-Saint-Denis. This is the poorest. It's the equivalent of a county, called a department in France, but it's one of the most tense departments in France. There's lots of social problems, vast council estates up there where there's a lot of rioting that goes on. And this kind of spills over into the Stade de France. Stade de France was built there because they wanted to invest in the area. But of course, it's picked up a lot of its social problems as well. And I have to say, getting to the ground is always a very unpleasant experience. The RER train that goes out there is awful, is vandalized, and as you say, Claire, it can be full of muggers, it can be full of all kinds of people who prey on the rather richer people who can afford to go to these matches. So you had that sort of crossover there. And yes, I did see gangs of lads taunting fans, taunting the police, which they do quite often. And that was pretty disturbing as well, I have to say.
Yeah, and there's this narrative then put forward by the French government that the Real Madrid club looked after their fans. They got them there in buses. They kept them all together. They got them into the ground. They got them away again. It was all handled very well. And then on the other side of this, you had the Liverpool fans who the French minister said were let out in the wild, and there was no attempt to look after them by the club. Is that what you saw?
Well, I did see that. I didn't see the latter. I did see the former. I saw that the Real Madrid fans, there was a lot less of them, first of all. Their fan zone was right next to the Stade de France, so it was much easier to organise. A lot of them came in very large groups of their own. And so, yes, they were quite well organised. But the Liverpool side, I would completely disagree. I mean, Liverpool fans, they're grown-ups. They do what they like. They don't need somebody from the club to tell them where to go or what to do. And I saw thousands and thousands of fans acting impeccably at Nation, to the east of the city, where the fan zone was. They were perfectly well-behaved. I followed a lot of them up to the ground as well. They were perfectly well-behaved. They didn't need stewarding from the club. I suspect Liverpool Football Club put on a few coaches, but I know there were lots of problems with that. A lot of coaches were cancelled, and I know a lot of EasyJet flights from Liverpool were cancelled as well. So the fans had to make their own way over to France and to the ground. So I think that's pretty unfair. I think there's a lot of prejudice in the words of Gerald Darmanin, the French Interior Minister. He has a thing about Britain at the moment, and particularly about English football supporters. He picked them out and said, look at their history, look at all the things they've done in the past. And he's saying they're all the same today. I don't think that's true. I've followed English football fans for years around the world, and I think at the moment they're far, far better than they used to be.
And on that, do you think that there would be a different policing plan in place if this was a rugby match?
Absolutely, 100%. I've been to lots of rugby matches at the Stade de France, France-Ireland, not that long ago. No riot police in sight. If you looked at all the police on Saturday for the football, they're all in full riot gear, body armour, lots and lots of tear gas canisters on their backs, big shields, whatever. You go to the rugby, nothing at all, just a few very, very polite gendarmes and police officers telling you which way to walk or whatever. Completely different atmosphere. And I think that will continue as well with the Rugby World Cup next year, again, because the French see English football fans as the problem and not sports fans per se, Claire.
You just wonder what the fallout will be from all of this and from the investigations now set to flow from what happened on Saturday night. I mean, will events, do you think, at the Stade de France come under scrutiny, ones to be held down the line? We've got the Rugby World Cup happening there next year. Again, as you say, unlikely to have the same police presence at that event as they had at this one. But do you expect things to change as a result of the Champions League final?
They could do. There's a lot of calls this morning for Gerald Darmanin to go, for example, the Interior Minister. I doubt President Macron will sack him. But there will be an inquiry, UEFA carrying out an inquiry, and also, crucially, the judiciary here have been asked to carry out an inquiry. Now, of course, there's a separation of powers here. So officially, if the magistrates get involved, that's nothing to do with the government. So if they come out and they say, look, there were huge failings here, this was outrageous, there may well be changes. One of the big bugbears here amongst lots and lots of people, not just those connected to football, is the use of tear gas in French society. The French use it indiscriminately. It's unbelievable. You'll see it on a Saturday afternoon, just at a normal political demonstration or whatever. They're always spraying people in the face. And maybe now that the eyes of the world are looking at France because of what happened on Saturday, there may be some reform that way. That would actually be some pretty positive reform that may come out of this, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned at the beginning the images that we saw from Saturday night, but there's real power in seeing an 11-year-old boy or a 9-year-old girl crying in fear, standing at a barrier with riot police spraying tear gas.
Absolutely. It's absolutely quite unbelievable. I mean, again, I've been to lots of political demonstrations, particularly on a Saturday. They all tend to happen on a Saturday. We all remember the yellow vests bringing chaos to the Champs-Élysées and places like that. The police then responded with tear gas. And what tends to happen, and with baton charges, is those responsible for the violence, for anything that's going on, they run away. They tend to be fit young men. And those who are left behind are the pensioners, those in wheelchairs, and as you say, little children. And they're the ones that get smothered in the tear gas and occasionally hit around the head with a baton as well. Huge paramilitary police presence in France. And this is the result of that.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for talking to us about it all this morning. Peter Allen, freelance journalist there, joining us from France. Coming up next, we'll be speaking to the survivor of a shooting in a school in 2018 in the United States about how the most recent shooting has impacted her. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.